Your letters now. First, Coventry Kessler writes in response to last week's story on prison libraries, "Please spare us any more stories of prison inmates who have at long last discovered the joys of literacy." Kessler continues, "No doubt before they ended up in the Huskow, there were at least a couple of us teachers who tried hard to convince them that books, learning, and school were worth their time. They were, however, more interested in their buds, the street, and making it the easy way." Kessler concludes, "Don't get me wrong. I'm delighted men in prison have libraries and literacy programs, better late than never. They'll be more law-abiding and hopefully happier once they're out. But don't ask me to be impressed that they finally wised up after, not before, a life of crime." A letter from Dick Tucker in High Point, North Carolina begins, "Exactly 25 years ago when we lived in Rhode Island, my wife, as part of a church task force on prisons, routinely visited an inmate in the state adult correctional institution. This man had artistic ability and wanted access to some books along his lines of interest. He was refused permission to order new books at his own expense, so my wife offered to bring library books to him. The first book was accepted, but after that, every attempt to get books to the man failed." Mr. Tucker continues, "My wife went through all possible channels, including the Department of Corrections, the governor's office, and the courts, to no avail. Societies have always felt justified in punishing wrongdoers, but sooner or later the vast majority of wrongdoers will rejoin society as free persons. Even if we don't pretend to be loving and caring toward them, it's in our own best interests to provide them with the tools for being successful on the outside." Our feature on the Note Floaters of America on April 1st made Tom Rubel in Seattle a little nostalgic. He writes, "When the first moments of the segment on the Note Floaters of America appeared, I thought it must be a joke. Then it grew on me and brought back fond memories of the wonderful old recordings of Jonathan and Darlene Edwards, who surely deserve recognition as forerunners of the note floating movement. Perhaps NPR could find one of those old cuts for comparison, perhaps Darlene singing April in Paris, or better yet, do a feature on the Edwards next April 1st. Mike Agronoff of Booton Township, New Jersey, says, "I applaud the efforts of the Note Floaters of America, their mutual support of their self-esteem in ignoring the conventions of musical pitch and the approval of others. However, I'm sorry to say that I do not applaud the resultant singing. The emperor has no sense of pitch. Or was it all an April fool?" Address your letters to Weekend Edition Sunday, National Public Radio, 635 Massachusetts Avenue, Northwest, Washington, D.C., 20001. Our email address is wesun@npr.org, and our listener line number is 202-371-1775.